And it's recorded in chapter 20 through 22. Jessica? The what? Yes, very good, Jessica. The mediatorial kingdom. That's when God's kingdom comes to earth, mediated through a man. Because God meant for man to rule the earth. The mediator will be the last Adam, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will literally be on earth, on top of Mount Zion in Jerusalem, reigning in the Holy of Holies, a priest on his throne, according to Zechariah 12, ruling the entire world. And people from Brazil, people from China, people from Africa, there won't be so many waters. There won't be the big oceans. They'll be able to very easily travel once a year to Jerusalem, walk up that mountain, and literally meet with the Lord in the temple and worship the Lord there all from all over the world. And this time will be a wonderful time. Now, this is in chapters 20 through 22. 21 and 22 are a little different than 20. Does anybody remember what they all deal with the millennium, but does anybody remember? Diane's handing out the lesson, so you can get that, and you'll be able to take notes. And I'll need a lesson, Diane, actually, because they're new lessons, and my printer doesn't work. All right, so 20, how is that different than 21 and 22? Cynthia? Very good, Cynthia. It's both dealing with the mediatorial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years, but chapter 20 is a summary of the whole kingdom from beginning to end. It doesn't deal in the minutiae of the details of how it's going to be, whereas in 21 and 22, God wants you to have a clear picture of the world to come so that you can set your sight upon what is coming. Yes, sir?
I'm going to say that it's the, in detail.
Yeah, we just said that. It's in detail. 21 and 22 are in detail, whereas 20 is the flyover of the kingdom to come. Very good. All right, so let's look at this and take your Bible now and turn to chapter 21 of the Revelation. And we're going to start literally going through the questions starting at question number one there. Notice question number one in your notes right at the bottom. And we're going to start at 21:15. So you can get your Bible. And I hope you have a Bible. Bring your Bible to class. That's your textbook. A King James Bible. You really need that because we're studying the Bible. And chapter 21, and we're going to look at verse number 15. I'll read it. It says, "And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall." So whoever talks to John now is the one giving him the revelation. Now you remember from chapter 1, this revelation, the word revelation means a burlesque show. It means a lifting up of the curtain to show the nakedness of what it's going to be like when Christ comes back. You really get a clear picture. And so here in chapter 1 of Revelation, the revelation is from God the Father. It's given to God the Son, Jesus, who gives it to his angel, who gives it to John so we can have it. Now, this is one of the angels that is giving a final revelation here about the city and the walls of the city being the New Jerusalem. I think you mentioned that. And the New Jerusalem on the first day of the millennium is going to come down from heaven, and it's going to hover over the earth. It'll be like a big diamond chandelier, and it will be bright and beautiful. And we're going to talk about that city. That city, by the way, is going to hover over Mount Zion. On top of the mountain will be the temple, and Christ will be in the temple. Who lives in the city? It's the New Jerusalem. It's the home of who? We talked about this. Does anybody know who lives in that city during the 1,000 years and really beyond the 1,000 years? Joe?
The saints.
The saints. And what's another name for the saints that live there? Jessica?
The church.
The church. The bride of Christ. The wife of the Lamb. That's what it is. And that would be us. And that would be all the people from from Pentecost to the rapture, but it would include all the Old Testament saints that have become part of the church, because when Christ comes back, they're going to be raised from the dead and glorified, and we're all going to be together in that city. In other words, all the glorified people who are called the church, the bride of Christ. And when Christ comes back, if your body is still alive, it will be changed and glorified. If you have arthritis, it's gone. If you have cancer, it's gone. You're glorified. You'll never get sick. You'll never get old. You'll be able to fly. You'll be able to have a body like Christ after he rose from the dead, because he's the first fruits. So that is the home of the glorified people. And we're going to look a little bit more at that today. Now, there will be people on earth that will live in all the nations, United States, Canada, North America, South America, Africa, Asia, all over the world, people will live, and the world will not have the big oceans, and there'll be a lot of people in different nations of the world. They will all be saved when the 1,000 years begin. When the New Jerusalem comes down at the beginning, they'll all be saved. They'll all go into the kingdom. But what kind of bodies will they have, the people that live on the earth during the millennium? What kind of bodies? Karen?
Natural,
yes. Mortal bodies, subject to death. Now, they won't die like you and I do at, I guess the average lifespan is around 78 years old. They won't die at that age. They will die at how many years old? Centuries. A child will be considered a child that dies at 100 years old. But they will have mortal bodies. Satan will be bound, so he won't be able to tempt people. Christ will have people ruling over the courts and the congresses and the government. Who is going to run the governments of the world during the millennium, during the mediatorial kingdom, as Jessica said, which is correct. Yes. Yeah, it'll be the church, 1 Corinthians 6. You are going to judge angels, it said. You are going to run the world to come. Angels will be the servants. Man is made to rule over the world. So you will live in the New Jerusalem, and if you've been faithful and you receive rewards, you will have a job on the earth to rule over the earth according to your faithfulness. If you lose your rewards, you'll have to sit it out, no doubt. But if you're faithful, God will give you those rewards, and you will rule over the world, and you'll be dealing daily with people that do have a sinful nature. They do have bodies subject to death, although death will be less likely. The curse will be removed from the ground, and so the climate will be beautiful. There'll be a canopy that will cause there to be a beautiful climate, not harsh conditions of weather. Crops will grow, and wealth will increase. Peace will be everywhere. There'll be no war. The curse will be removed in that the lion and the lamb will be together. They'll eat grass, eat straw. Babies will be able to play with cobras. It will be a great, big, wonderful world. The mediatorial kingdom. And you and I are, according to 1 Corinthians 6 and other places, we're to rule with Christ over that world to come. So you're being trained for that right now. You're being trained to rule with Christ. And so this is what God's doing. Yes?
I was going to say, just like it was before the flood.
Yeah, before the flood, like it was before the flood, very similar conditions, except here's the difference. Before the flood, people got very wicked and very sinful, but not in the millennium. Christ will rule with a rod of iron. If people try to practice homosexuality, they're going to be arrested. If they try to say, oh, I'm a girl when they're a boy, I'm a boy when they're a girl, they'll be arrested. You say, who will do that? Jesus Christ. He will not allow junk in his world to come. I'm just telling you. And he's going to pour out his spirit. There'll be revivals. People will love the Lord and praise the Lord and worship him. Hi, guys. Good to see you. And they will be here. So serve the Lord now when we're in the midst of chaos. Serve the Lord now when we're in the midst of Satan being loose, because Satan's going to be bound in the world to come. And serve the Lord now. And this is a detailed description of how great it's going to be. And so let's look at that. This is a literal city, the New Jerusalem, and as such has literal and physical measurements given to it. And he, that is the angel, uses a reed. A reed to measure that. Now, a reed was something that grew in water, and it was a big, big, large stalk that grew. But here's a golden reed, and that became a measuring stick for large areas. And so, since this city is being measured and the wall, these are large areas, that's what the angel is using to measure this city. And it's the same angel that poured out the judgments of the bowl judgments. All right? Now, that was Revelation 21, verse 15. Now, the city itself is described, this is number two in your notes, as a cube with each side measuring the same. So let's look at that in verse 16. Follow with me as I read. It says, "And the city lieth four square." All right, so that means that the city is like a big cube. And you know, a square, here you have a square. And what is a cube? It's a square, another square of the same dimension. And then you have that, and then you have that, and then you have that, and that. So you have a cube. And so that the city is this huge cube with all these square miles in between it. It has one street that goes through the city, okay? So we're looking at that in verse 16. It says it's as large as the length and the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Now, a furlong, if you measure it with the length and breadth and height being equal, this furlong measured out, a furlong is an eighth of a mile. So what's an eighth of a mile? 8 into 5,280 feet is, I'm not very good at math, but I came up with 660 feet. All right, so that's about 220 yards. So the dimension of this cube is, as I see it, 1,380 miles high. And it is the same this way, so how far is it this way in all areas? How many miles? 1,380 miles. It's all equal. And so that is the measurement of the city, and that measures out to, listen to this, two, and I got to make sure I wrote this right, 2 million square miles. Can you imagine that? 2 million square miles. And if that comes over the top of Mount Zion, remember Mount Zion is elevated and it comes over the top of it. The temple is going to be at the top of it. So you see that the throne of God is right here on top of earthly Mount Zion. The city is over the top of it. And then you're going to have walls of the city, and those walls of the city are going to go up here and protect the entrance to it. You see, the walls of the city will protect the entrance, so you can't get into Mount Zion without going through the walls. And these walls will be in the mountain. So we'll talk about that in a moment. So if you look at this, you look at a city that is five times as much land area as the earth. Because remember, people are going to live at different sections all through the city. And five times the land area of the earth, and they're going to live on the Golden Way Street of Gold that goes all through that city. And what a place that is going to be. Okay, so that is the measurement of the city. Any question on that? That will come down on the first day of the millennium. Cynthia. Yes.
And wide.
And wide and deep.
What are there layers in there?
Yeah, there are somehow floors and layers, and the street of gold goes through the whole thing. And I guess I'd have to be an architect to draw all that. But and that's above my pay grade. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be that way. Somebody has estimated it. Everybody that got saved from Adam on, and I believe Adam was saved. I believe he believed on the Lord, and so he was saved. His son Abel was saved. Unfortunately, Cain was not. But all the saved people living in there, somebody has said that each estate, if you had the same size, and I don't think everybody had the same size, but each estate would be 75 square acres. Not just acres, square acres. 75 square acres that each house where you would live would be. So it will be a big, big area. And a beautiful area. You say, what'll be there? What you have on earth, trees, water. You know, we're not going to be floating around with harps in the sky like sometimes people picture that. No, no. We're living in a literal city with a literal street, with literal water and trees and everything else. And it will be beautiful. And the gate, we'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, that is the city and how it's going to be. And you will be able, you won't get tired, you won't get sick, you won't be subject to death, and you will not, you see, be limited in that you can literally fly. Christ, remember, could fly. And he flew back up to heaven, so to speak. He went through, he was material, he could eat, you'll be able to eat. He could have dessert, he ate honey, he had meat, he was able to eat. You will not have to go to the bathroom. You will not have blood. You will not be cut or be bloody. I'm going by Christ's resurrection body, and our body will be like his. So there'll be nothing like that. You'll have on a white garment, and I spill all the time, and if I spill on that white garment, it's going to disappear. It's going to be, I look at it that way. It's going to be an amazing future for God's people that he's prepared for us. And so we need to walk worthy of the royalty that he's called us to be and talk worthy of it. Talk like a king. Walk like a king. You know, sometimes they show these fairy tales on TV at Christmas, a girl marries a prince and all this stuff, and they talk so proper and usually kind and just the right kind of person, but full of wealth and all of that, you know. Well, we're the royalty, we're being trained to be royals, and so walk like it, talk like it, and live like it. And follow Christ's example, because he was the royal king who came here, and they treated him terribly, didn't they, when they put a crown of thorns on him. But he didn't curse back at him, did he? He didn't do that. He was a great example to them. So we need to be more like Christ. So let's go on to this thing, because we're going to look at the wall now of the city, because he's measuring the city. We just looked at now the wall. Look at verse 17. It says, and he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. Now, so the wall, the wall that will, and the word there is guard access to the city and thus to the summit of the mount. Now, remember, here's the city. It's suspended over the mount. But the wall, I believe, to best of my understanding, it has foundations. And the foundations of the wall, I believe, are anchored into the mount. Now, then the wall extends up at least, if the measurement here is the height of the wall, and I think it is, if it's the width, well, then it would extend up all the way to the top of the city. But I think it's the height. So it extends up about 216 feet from the base of the city, or from the base of where it's planted in the mountain. It goes up 216 feet. And I believe people that want to climb the mountain will be encountering this wall, and they will not be able to go up to the top of the mount to see the Lord, nor to see the city, the New Jerusalem, at the top of the mountain. They will not be able to see it because they'll be met with this wall 216 feet high. And so it's meant to guard the city, so they just can't go walking into that wall. You see, they can't just walk through that wall. Now, what does Donald Trump want to do? He wants to have a wall so that people cannot get over. I don't know how high that wall is, maybe 30 feet high. And he wants people not to just walk into the United States. And that's proper. You should be vetted before you get into a country. You should be legal. I don't care who gets in as long as they're legal, right? Everybody's welcome, but they need to be legal. And it's going to be the same way with this. If you want to walk from the earth, and this is talking about people that live on earth. Now, we live in the New Jerusalem, so it'll be easy for us to get in. That's our home. But people on earth, to come up there, they have access, but they have to go through this wall. Now, how are they going to get through the wall, people on earth? They got to walk up the mountain, and they're going to encounter this wall here somewhere as they walk up the mountain toward the top. But how are they going to get through this wall? Does anybody know? Well, I guess we can see it. Look at the next verse, and let's look at verse 18. It says, "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, and like unto clear glass." Now, the wall, it says, was of jasper. Now, there's dispute on what jasper. Jasper's a precious stone. But does anybody know what jasper is represented by a lot of Bible teachers? And I believe that's what it is, so that the wall is going to be like made of jasper. Anybody know? Yes.
Marble?
Not marble, believe it or not. Yep.
Are you talking about the color of it?
Yeah, the consistency, the material, the color, everything. It's going to be like what, Kathy?
Clear,
it's diamond. Diamond. I know that's beyond your and my expectation of a wall to be made of a pure diamond. But this wall, 216 feet high, is like a huge diamond, jasper. Now, it does have some more things we're going to look at here, but we'll look at that. And the city was pure gold like unto glass. So this huge city is basically made of gold. The street is gold, we know that, and the city seems to, the characteristic of the city is gold, but the gold is different than the gold on earth. The gold is going to be pure like glass. It's like you have 24 karat gold. Isn't that the best gold you can get? This is better than that. Think of the incredible wealth that God does, and this is nothing for God to give us wealth. Why doesn't he do it now? We're being trained. He doesn't want to spoil his people. We are a heavenly people. We're being trained. But he has no problem lavishing wealth on his bride. Just like a man would give a diamond to his bride, a beautiful diamond. Well, he's going to get the whole wall to be a diamond. He gets a gold wedding ring. Well, the whole city's basically golden. All right, Diane. So am I. I'm not an architect.
You said the wall would be 260 feet high?
16. Yeah. Yeah, based on the measurements given here of a furlong.
But I thought you said it was 1,380 miles high.
Yeah, the city. So the city is 1,380 miles high, this cube right here. But the wall guards the access to the city, which is hovering over the top of Mount Zion. Since it has foundations, it would seem to me the wall, and I'm just trying to infer, it's hard for me to do this because I'm not an architect, but it seems like the wall would be anchored into the mountain. Mm-hmm. And then you would have to go through that. Now, if the measurement, it doesn't say in Revelation, if the measurement is the thickness of the wall, then it would be 216 feet thick. Rather than high. And then the height would be, like you said, 1,380 mile high wall. But that doesn't seem to me the purpose of it. It seems to guard access to the Temple Mount for people on earth. Well, we're going to get to the gate. That's another thing that's very important to this wall, the gates of the wall. So we're going to get to that. Brenda?
That was my answer, the gate.
That was your question. Okay, well, you're thinking ahead where we're going next. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you said about the diamond. Now, about the diamond, does every, that's around all the place, or
yes, the whole wall, and I just drew the wall here, you know, to kind of be, but it goes all around the mountain. So on the back side of the mountain, the wall is attached on the side of the mountain and on the front of the mountain. So all around the mountain, the wall goes, because the city, remember, is draped over the top of the mountain on all sides. So every access to the city is guarded by this wall. And I want to get to the gates of the wall, because you guys are bringing that up right now. And so we'll get to it, but hang on. Just bear with me. All right, so anybody else? Cynthia.
I'm just going to ask, would it help if I had Joe draw a drawing?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah. He's an architect. All right. Picture's worth a thousand words. All right. Number four, the incredible wealth of the city is shown in that the material for the wall is of jasper stone. And we just talked about that. Number five, the foundation of our finished New Testament faith was given to us as inspired in the inspired scripture through the oversight of the 12 apostles. And this is important because we're looking at this wall. And it says that the wall, look at verse 19. It says, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first was of jasper or diamond. The second, sapphire. You know what a sapphire is, right? The third, chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. You know what an emerald is. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, the topaz. The tenth, chrysoprasus. The 11th, hyacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. So these are beautiful, precious stones. And they are 12 precious stones that are at the base of this wall. Can you imagine that? So the wall is it has a foundation under the wall. The wall guards the city. And does anybody know what is written into these stones? There is something on the foundation that is written in there. Does anybody know what is written there on the foundation of that wall? And I'm gonna see if I can see it here. Hang on with me. See if I can find it. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. All right, so I'll give you the assignment. See if you can look at verse 14, and tell me what is in the foundation stones that we just read, what's engraved in there. Karen Gerice.
The names of the 12 apostles.
The names of the 12 apostles. So the 12 apostles are in the wall of the city. Now remember that the city is the home of what? The bride of Christ, the church. Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, the foundation of the church is the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Does anybody know why the apostles are the foundation of the church? What did they do that's very important, that is the foundation for our faith? Yes.
They were responsible for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's very true. They spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what did they give us that is the foundation of our faith? And that's why I believe their names are in the foundation the wall around the city, the guards. Kathy. Yeah, the teaching of the New Testament. John wrote the last book, Revelation. He said, don't add to it, don't take away from it. Paul wrote a lot of it, and all the Peter wrote it, James wrote it. The whole New Testament was written by an apostle or under the direction of an apostle. And so the 12 apostles gave us the finished Bible so that we can have a foundation for our faith. What's the foundation for your faith? It's the Word of God. And the Word of God was finished by the 12 apostles. That's why when the guy who founded the Mormon religion was just a whoremonger that wanted an excuse to have a lot of women and told his wife, you know, he was told by an angel, Moroni, that he could have all these wives. And she goes, oh, okay, Joe, okay. No problem. And the guy was just a whoremonger. And, you know, and so he was not an apostle. He says this is another testament. The Book of Mormon is another testament. Well, Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. So there are false apostles, but there are no apostles beyond the 12. Now, there's apostles of the churches. That just means missionaries. But there's no 12 apostles of the Lamb, of the Lord. They wrote down the Bible. And so they're on the foundation. They're also a foundation of the church. Now, you have to remember that God, when he founded the church in the book of Acts, you notice in the book of Acts that there's all these miracles, people being healed, and all these miracles, people speaking in foreign languages, they never learn. You ever notice that? How many notice that in the book of Acts? And you say, why don't I have that? Because you are not in the age of the apostles. They laid the foundation. When you build a foundation of a building, Joe knows this, you don't keep building the foundation over and over again. The apostles were given signs that they were going to write the Bible, and they're called the signs of the apostles. If you believe you have those gifts of the apostles, then go to the hospital and empty it, because everybody that Peter saw, they were healed, just like everybody Jesus saw, and they were healed immediately. So these guys that try to say they're apostles, they're just fakers. They're not doing what the Bible says. I measure them with the Bible. That's why I don't get duped. Some of you are deceived because you're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Not me, and not a mature Christian, if you're taught the Bible. Yes, sir?
Apostles were taught by Jesus.
They what?
They were taught by Jesus.
Yeah, correct.
So that these guys can't be taught by Jesus.
Yeah, they were taught directly by Jesus physically. And not only did they preach the gospel, but they offered to Israel the kingdom, the mediatorial kingdom. Remember that? And that's why Israel needs a sign, and they were given those sign gifts even for the nation of Israel. But after the apostles ended their ministry, Israel was judged in AD 70, and the kingdom offered to them was withdrawn or postponed. So we don't have the signs of the apostles today in the churches. Forbid not to speak in foreign languages supernaturally, because the apostles could lay hands on people and they had that ability. So you didn't forbid. But you have to understand that historically. So right now that doesn't fit. All right. So anyway, that's why I believe the apostles' names are on the foundation of that wall there. Amen? Take your vitamin C, D, and zinc, Joe.
Yes, I was thinking about that. I was talking about it.
And you forget about it.
Amen.
And I kept telling them that my pastor
was
very well.
Your pastor is like a broken record, is what you should have said.
He does his study, and I told him that if you don't believe me, that then
amen.
You need to do a lot of vitamin C, vitamin E.
Yeah, vitamin D, C, and zinc are the keys. All right, let's go on. D is like sunshine in the wintertime. By the way, they're hitting us. Did you notice? I preached on that Wednesday. How many saw in the news since I preached on that, this pneumonia that's been released in China? How many saw that? Yeah. It hits older people and children. So now they're going after children. So, yeah, man, we need to have protection. All right, so let's go on with this and look with me now. We looked at the 12 apostles. Go to number 6 in your notes. It says, notice that there's only one street through the whole of the city. The street may be called, for example, Golden Way Street. Adam and Eve could be living, for example, at One Golden Way Street. The street goes throughout the entire city and is made up of pure gold, but the gold is transparent like glass, and you have seen that. All right, now we want to look at the gates. I notice you want to get to the gates. So look, it says, notice that also, or two, that each gate is one big, beautiful what?
Pearl.
Now that's interesting. You ever heard of the pearly gates?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's no joke. Each of these gates are made of pearl. So here's the wall. Let's say the wall comes up here to guard the way to the mount. And each gate has a pearl that is like a big door. Now, how many gates are on each side of this city to come up with 12? Joe?
Three.
Four times three, it's a cube. Four times three is what?
12.
So each gate is opened up and is on the mountain, and you can go through the gate to get to the top of the mountain and the base of the city. And it's made of a big, giant pearl. Now, if the wall is 216 feet high, like I tend to think it is, that pearl gate, each gate, would be 216 feet high. How many have seen a pearl 216 feet? No. Does anybody know how a pearl is made? Yes, ma'am, Cherry.
In oysters.
Yeah, an oyster makes a pearl. But what causes that pearl to be made, Cynthia?
The